the book of Luke. Also, please turn your phones on, go to Facebook, and tell the world that you are worshiping our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this morning at Chevis Oaks Baptist Church. Amen? Amen. Is everybody awake? All right, good, because if you're not, you're getting ready to be. Luke, turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Last week, as we started looking towards Christmas, we looked at the book of Malachi and saw that the spiritual condition of the Hebrew children was what it was almost 400 years before Jesus came to the earth. We saw that their Babylonian captivity initially had made some big promises to God and to the prophet Nehemiah, that they would follow the commands of God and not find themselves in a place of rebellion against God. But church, as we're about to close the Old Testament, we find that they're doing the very things that put them into captivity once again. Now, listen, does God want any of us to be into captivity? Absolutely not. If we find ourselves in a place of captivity, whose fault is it? Whose fault was it the Hebrew children were in captivity? They had specific instructions to follow the commands of God, but they rebelled against God and they found themselves in captivity. We saw that God's desire was that His people would honor His name and make Him known among the nations. And that these people, they had the knowledge and the understanding. That they had the understanding and they had experienced the blessings of God firsthand to make Him known, but they would not. They refused. They would not make God known. We learn from chapter 3, verse 1 through 4 in the book of Malachi, that if the people would not make the name of God great, then God Himself would make His name great. And He would do so by sending His Son to the earth. Now, hey church, Christmas is all about Jesus. Christmas is all about making His name great among the nations. Church, every year around this time, we have the honor of making the name of God and of Christ great among the nations. First things first, we have to find ourselves. We have to find Christmas before we can do that. We must try and find Jesus in Christmas. And it's getting harder and harder, isn't it? It's getting harder and harder to find Jesus in Christmas in America, a nation that proclaims that we are a Christian nation. It's harder and harder to find Jesus in Christmas. So let's look at Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. And the scripture says, in the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. This was common back in that day. And then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were absolutely terrified. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all of the people. Today, a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord, was born for you in the city of David. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in snugly in cloth and lying in a manger. Suddenly there was a multitude at the heavenly host with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people He favors. When the angels had left them, they returned to heaven. The shepherds said to one another, let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the feeding trough. After seeing him, they reported the message they were told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard, just as they had been told. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning. Lord, we're already full for experiencing who you are this morning through this service we've had so far. But God, I pray that you would be with us right now. God, we desperately need to see Jesus in Christmas before we can experience Christmas in its fullness. God, we know what it was 400 years. We know what the spiritual condition was. We pretty much know what the spiritual condition is of our people today. God, it doesn't have to be that way with us. Those who are under the sound of my voice, those who might be hearing this on the internet, God, it doesn't have to be that way with us. God, I pray that you'd help us this morning to find your Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua, Lord, that we might experience Christmas in its fullness. In Christ Jesus' name we do pray. And all God's children said, amen. Now, what I just read was one version of the Christmas story. Matthew records one version. Luke records another. Now, John records a very different way of bringing Christ into the world. It's not really in the fashion that Matthew and Luke do. But listen, these two versions are absolutely beautiful. But this morning we see a different group that Matthew doesn't really talk about. We see a group of shepherds. What just happened with these shepherds? Now, y'all have read this story. You know exactly what's taking place, but I want us to take a little closer look. Let's stop and examine it just a little bit more, because something happened to these shepherds. Something affected these shepherds. Something infected these shepherds. Something happened, and it changed these shepherds so much that they could not sit any longer. They had to do something. Well, this morning, what is it, Brother Kyle? What happened to the shepherds? Well, first thing I want to contend with you this morning is this. The shepherds were minding their own business, doing what they always did while tending their sheep. I'm quite sure that several of them were asleep while at least one of them kept watch over the sheep in the fields, making sure that no wild animal came during the night and killed one of them. Now, church, these shepherds were not looking for Jesus. They had no clue that Jesus was just born. They may have known from their early education, what little education these shepherds might have. They might have known of the prophecies of where he was supposed to be born. But until the angel of the Lord appeared to them, they had no clue where he was born for certain. Now, what did it take for the shepherds to know that Jesus was here on the earth? What was it that it took for these shepherds to get excited, to know that their Messiah was born? What was it that it took? It took a proclamation from the angel of the Lord. Let's read verse 9 again. Look at verse 9. Verse 9 says this. It says, "Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news, a great joy that will be for all the people today. A Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord, was born for you in the city of David.'" This is what it took. They were minding their own business out there tending the sheep. They weren't going anywhere. As a matter of fact, they were forbidden by whoever owned the sheep, if the owner wasn't there, to leave. Well, why? Because wild animals were always lurking. They knew where these sheep were. They knew how smart these sheep were. And they knew, listen, they knew if these guys just go to sleep or they'll just walk away, we'll eat those sheep. The shepherds were, hey, listen, they weren't going anywhere. But something happened. Something happened. The angel came and made a proclamation. And once that proclamation was made, they changed all their plans. Now look, church, what happened when the shepherds heard this proclamation of the birth of Christ from the angel of the Lord? What is it that the shepherds felt compelled to do next? Listen, do you see them trying to rationalize once they hear this from the angel? Do you hear them try to rationalize what they had just seen? Well, guys, look, you know, I'm not sure that was an angel. That was probably one of those talking stars. It probably wasn't an angel. I don't think, listen, Y'all, did y'all eat any crazy wild berries as y'all were tending the sheep this afternoon? What'd y'all put in the food? They didn't rationalize what they had just seen. Do we see the shepherds holding a meeting, asking each other what they should do next and when it is that they should do what they agree to do to be done? No. We see these shepherds dropping everything they were doing or had to do and go straight right then to find this child who had just been born. Now, I want to contend with you secondly, that before the angel came, they had many important things to do. They had many things to tend to. But now, there was nothing more important than carrying out their given assignment. They had to find Jesus. They had to find him. Well, you know, Brother Kyle, I think I understand it. I think I see where you're going here. You know, why isn't it more people aren't excited and going and telling people about Jesus? Well, you know, Brother Kyle, if I had a proclamation from an angel, if I was just minding my business, and all of a sudden an angel of the Lord appeared to me, and the glory of the Lord shone around him, and the angel said, listen, the Messiah has been born. Go and make him known. If the angel of the Lord would do that for me, hey, listen, if something or somebody would just come and tell me the way it was told to the shepherds, I'd be more than welcome to do all of that. Really? Really? Now, you just said that in your, you just rationalized within your head. Listen, everything is more important in your life than Jesus. Everything. I've said this 100 times. I'm going to do this one time. I'm going to do this. I promise you I'm going to do this. I'm going to stand in here and I'm going to take a panoramic view of the church one Sunday. And the next Sunday, I'm going to come and I'm going to take another panoramic view of the church on Sunday morning. The third Sunday, I'm going to come and I'm going to take a panoramic view of the church on Sunday morning. Listen, this is like a vacation church a lot of times. Do you know why? Because everything is more important than Jesus. Everything. Everything in our lives is more important than coming worshiping our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It really is. And I don't get it. Well, Brother Kyle, if I had one of those angel revelations, if somebody would just tell me, listen to me, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, has been born. If you need to get excited, there you go. I'm not an angel. Ask my wife. All I am is a proclaimer, and I proclaim to you this morning that Jesus was born over 2,000 years ago in the city of David, in the city of Bethlehem, and he came to this world that you might be made whole. Now your job is what we talked about last week. Your job is to make his name known and great among the nations. That's your job. That's your only job. You don't have any other job. And if you're not doing that job, if you call yourself a Christian, you're going to live in misery. Why? Because you're not doing what you were called to do. You're not doing what you were told to do. Right? You've had your proclamation. They had their proclamation. Now let's see what happens after they hear the proclamation. Verse 16 tells us that these shepherds hurried off to find the Messiah. And they found his mother and earthly father, Joseph, and the child laying in the feeding trough. They found the Messiah just as the angel of the Lord had told them. Church, this event has got these shepherds excited. Scripture does not tell us how long they stayed at the first visit to see their Messiah, but Scripture does tell us in verse 17 and 18 that they could not contain themselves, that they had to go and tell others, and every person they encountered, and give them the story that they had heard from the angel. And listen, all who heard, Scripture says, all who heard were amazed at what the shepherd had said to them. Now, can I tell you this morning that there's never been a time when I've shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with somebody? Bob, however simple or however complicated, you know, we make it, there's never been a time that I haven't looked in the person's eyes and not seen amazement. You mean to tell me that you were a liar, a cheat, a thief, you were a drunk, and you accepted Christ as your personal Savior, and he changed you? Yes, he did. You're kidding. Hey, listen, I talked to one of my best friends. Well, he was my best friend in high school this past year. It was during the World Series. I hadn't talked to him in 15, 20 years. We just kind of, you know, we kind of separated. He went one way, I went the other. Well, his team was playing the World Series, the Cubs, which won, and I wanted to get back in touch with him. I wanted to call him and talk to him. And when I talked to him on the phone, Brother Steve, he said, you know, what are you doing now? I said, well, Brad, I said, what do you think I'm doing? He said, I don't know. He said, you're probably a stockbroker. And I was like, nah, I'm not a stockbroker. He said, what in the world are you doing? He said, I said, I'm a preacher. I'm a Southern Baptist preacher. And he was amazed. Do you know why he was amazed? Because he knew me before God changed me. Listen, he knew the real Kyle. He knew a part of me that my son doesn't even know. I don't want him to know. He was amazed. Church, listen, God wants to do the same thing for each and every one of us. Every one of us. He wants to change you in such a way that the world step back and says, I just can't believe that. And he wants to change you in such a way that you're sitting here and you're like, yeah, I can't either. I don't know how he did it. But he did it. He really did. Listen, after that, something absolutely amazing happened. Something happened that blessed the heart of God with these shepherds. Because it was exactly what God so desired his people to do at the close of the Old Testament book of Malachi. Church, God desired that his people glorify his name and make his name known among the nations. Now listen to what the shepherds did next. Look at verse 20. Verse 20 says this. It says, the shepherds returned after they'd told all these people about what had taken place. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, just as they had been told. Now get this, Dan, this is what happened. They were minding their business out there in the field. Angel of the Lord came and shined his light around him, proclaimed to them, to the shepherds, listen, Jesus has been born. Okay, we'll go and check it out. Alec, they went and checked it out. And they saw that what the angels had said to them was the absolute truth. Caleb, when they saw what was the truth, okay, angels said it. I wasn't sure. I saw it. I believe it now. Once they saw it with their own eyes and they believed it, they went and proclaimed it. They went from listeners to proclaimers. And listen, after they had proclaimed to every person they encountered, I bet they went all throughout Bethlehem telling everybody. There wasn't a person they didn't tell. And finally, when they could not find somebody to tell about Jesus being born, they said, okay, listen, guys, I don't know, what do we do next? They said, let's go back and see him again. Let's go back and see him again. I want to see him again. Once you've encountered Jesus, you can't get enough of him. You cannot get enough of him. You don't ever get tired of him. You don't ever get tired of listening to him and learning more about him. You don't ever feel like you've learned enough, studied enough, sung enough, praised enough, glorified enough. Listen, once you get a little bit of Jesus, you can't get enough. You cannot get enough. And these shepherds could not get enough. They wanted to go back. And they didn't go back. Listen, they didn't, Miss Dorcas, they didn't go back and say, can we come back in? Can we come see him? Hey, is it all right if we come back? I honestly believe, Brother Phil, I honestly believe you could hear these boys coming. Brother Frank, you could hear them coming before they even got there. Because they were glorified. What do they have to glorify? The angel of the Lord told them what had just happened. They weren't sure about it. They went like they were told. They experienced the fullness of God. Where were their sheep? Hey, listen, I don't care about let them die. Hey, listen, it's just sheep. We're talking about the Son of God. They're just sheep. I want to see Jesus again. Well, you're going to get in trouble. That's all right. I'll get in trouble. It'll be worth it. I want to go see the Son of God again. These sheep are nowhere on the radar now. And they glorified him. Church, today, where is the praising and glorifying of God today? Today. This morning. Where is the praising and glorifying of God today? Listen, you knew that Jesus was born before you even came through these doors, didn't you? Y'all had known. You've heard the Word. You've read the Word. Now, I'm sure there were some of you who woke up this morning with great anticipation, could not wait to get to church this morning. But the majority of you, listen, some of you probably said, golly, man, really? God, I woke up late. It's going to be tough to get to church. You were excited about a lot of things, but church was not one of them. Why is that? Have you lost the excitement, or did you ever really have the excitement? Listen, we came, and it's Christmas time, but we came to worship the same Jesus that's here January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November. He's always here. He's always here. Every single month. Listen, every single... Jesus doesn't take Sundays off. Amen. Hey, listen, there are times where, I mean, I've got vacation booked in June already. First week in June. I'm me and Amy, and we're going. But Jesus is still going to be here. Some of y'all got, I mean, like the Taylors and Amy Wilkins, I mean, they got 12 vacations. They got them planned already. They're gone. Pat's not even saying a word. They're gone. But listen, Jesus is still going to be here. That should get you excited. When we come to the house of God, God is here. Not because of the house, but because the people of God have assembled in His name. Get excited. Listen, we ought to be glorifying God. Listen, people through the farms ought to hear us as we get out of our cars on Sunday morning. Here come them church people again. Listen to them praising that God. Listen, why? Because God is real to us. Why? Because He has shown His light upon us. Without that light shining on us and in us and through us, we'd be nothing. I am nothing without the light of the world. Good gracious, that wasn't even in my notes. Church, if we can just find Jesus in the midst of the madness of Christmas, what Christmas has become, then we can praise and glorify His name as the shepherds did and make His name great among the nations as God desired in Malachi. Church, He's here. He's never left us nor forsaken us. Church, Jesus is as close. Listen to me. Church, Jesus is as close to us as we will allow ourselves to draw close to Him. Jesus does not decide how close He will allow ourselves to get to Him. He desires all of us to walk right beside Him. It's up to us to open our eyes and see that He is all around us and glorify His name. He's all around us. Guys, I might get in trouble because I'm going to tell you a story. And it's not about a story about a man named Jed, all right? Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know what's going on with my wife. I'm going to try and get her to the doctor. Some of y'all saw this past week. She put the dishwashing detergent in the refrigerator. Dishwashing detergent does not go in the refrigerator. I was working on this project that I've got, and she said, "You be home at 2 o'clock because we've got tomorrow, 2 o'clock. We're going to Beaufort. We're going to hear a cantata. Don't you be late." And I got the finger, you know, that right there. Okay. So I was there at about 10 till 2. Bob, she didn't show up till about 2:05. I didn't say anything though. I kept my mouth shut until now to this story. So we get in the car, and we stop to get gas. And something, she said, I think I'll look it up. She said, this thing isn't today. It's next Saturday. Next Saturday. And see, I was like, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I mean, it was, I didn't want to, you know. We'll see if you remember. But this is what happened. Unplanned. I said, honey, I said, let's go sneak back to the journey, to the backside, and see if we can get in there and see the camels. Because I love camels and sheep. So we drive to the very end, and we pull up in there, Bob, and there they are. Six camels, male camels. I mean, it was hilarious to watch these things. Well, what are you saying, Brother Kyle? God reveals himself, I don't know how, to this woman through animals. I mean, she's not an animal whisperer or anything like that, but I'm talking, she gets on fire for the Lord just being around these animals. She wants us to buy a house so we can buy two camels. And she wants a pig and a cow and more, and she wants the chickens back. She said, chickens have got to come back. But why? Because God speaks to her through those animals. How can you look at an animal, look close, and not see the hand of God, the fingerprints of God? I mean, those animals are unbelievable. They're kind of like our children were when they were teenagers. Did y'all know that a camel has multiple stomachs? They eat and then they regurgitate it back up, and they chew it and they swallow it again. So don't let Amy have camel slobber all over. That's kind of like, how can we not see the glory of God in His creation? Talking about that on Sunday night, church. Listen. We've got to see God. God's all around us. He's not trying to hide. He's not playing hide and seek. He's all around us. We're the ones who are playing hide and seek. Listen, God, if you'll just bless me, I'll come back to you. He said, no, come back to me and I'll bless you. No, God, I want to do things my way. We'll continue to do things your way and see how they go. The Hebrew children didn't like captivity, and they cried and cried and cried, and God said, okay, listen. I'll bring you back, but it's going to be my way. Okay, yes, Lord, that's fine. I'll do it back your way. 400 years before Jesus came, God said, glorify my name and make my name known. And they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it. So God sent His Son to do what He had created these people to do. Church, can I tell you what will happen when you finally find Jesus in the midst of all this madness of Christmas? Just like the shepherds, you will have to tell others about the Messiah being born for all the world to hear. Listen, many will be amazed at what you're telling them, but something inside of you will not allow you to stop telling the story. I've got to tell the story. I don't care who it embarrasses. I don't care how long it takes. I've got to keep telling the story. Why do you have to keep telling the story? Because the story changed my life. I'm going to be honest with you. If it was not for the story, I'd be dead right now. There's no doubt in my mind. There's no doubt. Church, I do not like what Christmas has become in my life. But I've come to realize that Christmas has become what it has become because I've allowed it become what it's become. Christmas is all about Jesus coming into the world to glorify God and to make His name known. There is no better way, or there's no way any of us can celebrate Christmas this year than by glorifying the name of God and making His name known. Church, let me ask you this, and we'll stand and pray. Will you give God glory this Christmas that He deserves by telling others what He did for you? Let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, this is your time. These are your people. This is your invitation. God, we pray that you would be with us. You'd move amongst the pews. Your Spirit would open our eyes and our ears and our hearts. Lord, help us to see ourselves the way you see us. Help us to see what you want us to be. And show us how we can get there, God. Help this to be truly a time of invitation that we spend time with you. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come? The altar's open.